When they'd eaten, he took the boy out on the gravel bar below the bridge, and he pushed away the thin shore ice with a stick, and they knelt there while he washed the boy's face and his hair. The water was so cold the boy was crying. They moved down the gravel to find fresh water, and he washed his hair again as well as he could, and finally stopped because the boy was moaning with the cold of it. He dried him with a blanket, kneeling there in the glow of the light, with the shadow of the bridge's understructure broken across the palisade of tree trunks beyond the creek. "This is my child," he said. "I wash a dead man's brains out of his hair. That is my job." Then he wrapped him in the blanket and carried him to the fire. The boy sat tottering. The man watched him that he not topple into the flames. He kicked holes in the sand for the boy's hips and shoulders where he'd sleep, and he sat holding him while he tousled his hair before the fire to dry it. All of this like some ancient anointing. So be it. Evoke the forms. Where you've nothing else, construct ceremonies out of the air and breathe upon them. He woke in the night with the cold and rose and broke up more wood for the fire, the shapes of the small tree limbs burning incandescent orange in the coals. He blew the flames to life and piled on the wood and sat with his legs crossed, leaning against the stone pier of the bridge. Heavy limestone blocks laid up without mortar. Overhead, the ironwork brown with rust, the hammered rivets, the wooden sleepers and cross planks. The sand where he sat was warm to the touch, but the night beyond the fire was sharp with the cold. He got up and dragged fresh wood in under the bridge. He stood, listening. The boy didn't stir. He sat beside him and stroked his pale and tangled hair. "Golden chalice, good to house a god. Please don't tell me how the story ends." When he looked out again at the darkness beyond the bridge, it was snowing. All the wood they had to burn was small wood, and the fire was good for no more than an hour, or perhaps a bit more. He dragged the rest of the brush in under the bridge and broke it up, standing on the limbs and cracking them to length. He thought the noise would wake the boy, but it didn't. The wet wood hissed in the flames. The snow continued to fall. In the morning, they'd see if there were tracks in the road or not. This was the first human being other than the boy that he'd spoken to in more than a year. "My brother at last." The reptilian calculations in those cold and shifting eyes, the gray and rotting teeth, claggy with human flesh. "Who has made of the world a lie every word." When he woke again, the snow had stopped and the grainy dawn was shaping out the naked woodlands beyond the bridge, the trees black against the snow. He was lying curled up with his hands between his knees, and he sat up and got the fire going, and he set a can of beets in the embers. The boy lay huddled on the ground, watching him.